You're listening to a sermon by John Neufeld, recorded on Sunday, July 22, 2012, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
It's good to be here today. Whenever I come here, and I've come here several times over the last 15 years, I remember usually having to report on my health. And some of you probably have questions about that. I had a long bout with cancer. But for the last 5 years or so now, I have been clean, and I am in good health, and I'm very thankful for that. The other thing I want to start off with is saying that over the course of our lives, most of us have listened to a wide variety of sermons. Some have been interesting, others have not. Some have actually seemed too short, while others have seemed awfully long. Some of the sermons we've heard have probed deeply, and others have dealt with stuff rather superficially. Some of the sermons we've heard, we actually remember at least parts of them. And many sermons we've heard, we have completely forgotten. Sermons also have other differences. Some are totally text-based. A preacher chooses a paragraph or two, and he exposits that, deals with it, and tries to find some links to today. Some sermons cover a whole biblical book, like a book, Jonah, or Ruth, or Philippians, and the sermon tries to cover everything in some sort of fashion. And then there are special occasion sermons for Thanksgiving, Christmas, weddings, funerals, and so on. Now, topical sermons are another kind, and they usually begin with the details of our human experience, and then the preacher goes to the whole Bible and tries to find some way of dealing with a topic which is very relevant to our experience. And my sermon this morning is of this last type. Some of our remembering is done willfully and even joyfully. We remember good things on purpose. And some of our remembering is done unwillingly, painfully, because of circumstances past or future. And I'd like to begin by referring to some words by Fred Buchner, from whom I borrowed the title of this sermon, A Room Called Remember. Buchner is an American writer, preacher, essayist, and nominated for several literary awards. He has published over 30 books. He turned 86 11 days ago. And in a book that I just came across recently, the book is entitled A Room Called Remember. And the first chapter has that exact title. From that chapter, hear these words. One way or another, we are always remembering, of course. There is no escaping it, even if we want to. Or at least no escaping it for long. Though God knows there are times when we try to. We don't want to remember. In one sense, the past is dead and gone, never to be repeated, over and done with. But in another sense, it is, of course, not done with at all. At least not done with us. Old failures, old hurts, times too beautiful or too terrible to tell. Memories come at us helter-skelter and unbidden, sometimes so thick and fast that they are more than we can handle in their poignance, sometimes so sparsely that we all but cry out to remember more. And he goes on, so much has happened over all the years. So much has happened within us and through us. And then he says he had this dream of entering into a room, and in the dream he is told what the name of the room is, and it's remember. And that's what entering this room means, I think. It means taking time to remember on purpose, letting the mind journey gravely, deliberately back through the years that have gone by, but are not gone. It means a slower kind of remembering. It means remembering as a searching and a finding. The room is there for all of us, if we choose to enter it. The other bit of preliminary data comes from Genesis 32. An entirely different circumstance for remembering than the one that Buchner is talking about. This was unwilling remembering. Jacob had been separated and estranged from his brother for some 20 years, and he decided to come back home with his family and herds and flocks. And the night before he was going to meet his brother, he sends him a massive gift, a bribe, hoping, pleading, praying that somehow he will find favor in his Lord's eyes, as he says in the text. He calls him his brother, his Lord. And that night he has an unwelcome time of remembering. We know it as his wrestling match at Peniel. He is afraid. He is distressed. He prays for deliverance. And there is this middle-aged person struggling with memories and their attachments that had accumulated over life. Now, our lives are entirely different than Jacob's was. And some of us are way beyond middle age. But we have some of the same inner stuff to deal with, especially as we grow older. But really, no one at any age is exempt from dealing with the stuff of memories and sometimes of the attached fears. So Jacob struggled alone and at night outside, while on a trip. We often struggle alone and at night, at home, in our comfortable beds. And so, memories. It seems to me that memory is both a gift and a burden. A wonderful gift and an unwelcome burden. Eli Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor, wrote in one of his books about memories that wound and memories that sustain. Now, if we look at these two psalms that we've heard, 103 and 42, in 103, the psalmist praises God for all the good he remembers, while in 42, he remembers and his memories are linked with fears, with being downcast, with tears, and probably with being close to depression. In the first psalm, memories are a wonderful gift, while in the other, they are an unwelcome burden. Do not forget all his benefits, Psalm 103 says. Forgiveness, health, rescue from danger, feeling of satisfaction over the whole of one's life. And we think back over loved ones, relationships, childhood joys of discovery, our highlights, our accomplishments, the enjoyment of a sunset or a sunrise, the pleasure of games and music and song. And those kinds of memories we cling to and we cherish them. And the psalmist says, don't forget those things. Think consciously, intentionally about the past, and pay particular attention to the good that you have enjoyed. And when you've done that, then praise God. Now, reading this psalm may give us the impression that when we think back, only good memories will come. But that, of course, isn't true. Every time we reflect on our past, we also stumble across stuff which is associated with pain, with difficulties, with storms and clouds. And when we sit and remember that kind of stuff, we realize that there are pleasant memories to be had, but then there are also these burdensome ones. We're glad for the gift of memory, but we realize that every once in a while this good gift is unwelcome. Psalm 42 touches that. My tears have been my food day and night. Really? Day and night? While people say to me, where is your God? And then he mentions memory directly. These things I remember when I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude. But I can't anymore. And in his case, the gift of memory is painful. He's despondent, or she, and would probably wish that somehow she could be spared these difficult memories. But they do come, and they are bothersome. So all of our memories, be they pleasurable or painful, seem to have an ongoing impact in our lives. It's like having, or we wish they would quit bothering us. It's like having an unwelcome dream at night. You've probably had them, and you wake up and you go for a glass of water or you go to the bathroom and you come back, and lo and behold, to your dismay, you continue the same dream, and it wasn't a good one. We wish it would leave us alone. Now, it seems to me that for us getting older, we have more and more to remember. And as we age, we also become more reflective. We have time to relax, to sit by ourselves silently. We read some poetry, a novel, something else. We listen to music. We have some favorite poems. We page through an album. And as we do those things, our memories come alive, unbidden, from the recent past and some from a long time ago. Sometimes we're ambivalent about this amazing gift of memory. We like the good ones and welcome them, but we don't particularly like the painful ones. And we wish we'd just slam the door shut and keep them out. And sometimes when our past rises to haunt us, and difficult memories cling to us, and we may share it with someone, and someone well-meaning, family or friend, says, why don't you just forget about it? You'll be okay. And we know that is not going to happen. It can't happen. So I was reading a book of sermons by Donald Friesen from Ottawa last year, and he also spoke about memories and their ongoing impact in our lives. He said, some people deal with their past by adoring it, others by abhorring it, and others still by ignoring it. And I suspect that we have tried all three. But to ignore our past seems to be an unproductive path to be on, no matter what our age. We need to live, not to live, we don't want to live in the past, but somehow we must live with our unique past. So if we have found the courage to go into this room called Remember and to review our memories consciously, we will come across joyful stuff and burdensome stuff. And we may discover what Eli Wiesel also said, that memory may be our most intimate teacher. That's how he wrote about it. So when the psalmist remembered the benefits of life, he expressed his words, his gratitude in words of praise. And we can do that. We recall the blessings of our lives and we find our own words of gratitude, or we borrow the words of a poem or a song and we speak our thanks to God or just think them in the privacy of our own rooms or maybe with others. Some may even find it useful to jot down these good memories in a notebook or in the computer. Things I'm thankful for that I have experienced in life. But when that other psalmist remembers his past, his painful memory becomes active, and we too may recall stuff like that. Things that brought tears to eyes once and may still do so. Things that we are sorry about, or are anxious about, or even depressed about. And we recall things that still wound us. They wounded us once, and the wound is still active. The hurt has not left. The scars remain. And even as we remember, we feel the pain afresh. That was ours once and may be still ours right now. And these more difficult memories also invite our attention, invite us to pause and to ponder. And this part of our life, remembering life, may also become our most intimate teacher. And I wonder sometimes whether we could also have a page or two in our notebooks, things I wish I had not experienced in my life. This list will not quickly turn into gratitude. We will not quickly say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." But it may lead us to greater insight about ourselves. Like Jacob at Peniel, remember what he had to admit in the wrestling match. "I am Jacob, the supplanter, the cheat." He had to name it. We may remember how we maneuvered our way through difficult times, and it may lead us to fresh and sometimes surprising insight about others. Actually, how hurtful and insensitive other people have been. But on reflection now, we may wonder, what kind of a day were they having that day when they made that hurtful remark? What were they going through that was part of their hurtful response or interaction with us? So on a reflection on these difficult things, we may actually become a bit more gracious in retrospect. And we may see to ourselves, "I should really cut that person a bit of slack, because I don't know what else was motivating them that day." And we have the option then of practicing a bit of forbearance. Some things have to be forgiven. But many things that we experience as hurts or annoyances or slights do not call for forgiveness. They call for forbearance. A little bit of spiritual generosity. There are things which definitely call for forgiveness, like betrayal or disloyalty. Peter and Judas needed forgiveness for their actions prior to the crucifixion. But when someone passes us by and overlooks to greet us and we feel slighted, that has to be borne with a bit of humor and grace, forbearance. So forgiveness is often tied closely to our memories. Forgiveness, the need of it or the lack of it. And that isn't an easy thing, is it? George Shillington, who taught at CMU, wrote in one article, "Forgiveness is so unnatural. If it weren't commanded by Jesus and the others, I wouldn't go near it." He says the natural thing is to try to get back. And Louise Cummings, a United Church writer in the United Church Observer, said, "If I don't forgive, I remain in the grip of what has been done to me. If I don't forgive, I am actually compromising my own health and quality of life." So this debate or tension between forgiveness and forbearance, I think, always comes up in connection with memories. And I find it helpful that Lewis Smeads of Fuller Seminary once wrote the difference between forbearance and forgiveness and distinguished the things. And then the psalmist, even the one who was discouraged, has a word of hope. He ends up encouraged and hopeful. Even though his memories are an incredible burden, he doesn't stay in the dumps. And he tells his listeners, "Hope in God. Even though you challenge me, where is your God? Hope in God, for even I shall praise him. I shall again praise him." So I hope that we have the courage to enter this room called Remember, which is each of our own private room, and spend time there intentionally reflecting on the good and the not so good, and dealing with it the way we need to. And through the process, I believe God will bless us. Amen.